what's coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but each sound effect has a positive effect on people. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Keep in mind, most news has a negative effect on people. That is their intent. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because we desire to have the effect of helping people get one step closer to the Lord. That's why. Also, a Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. I mean, this is the key. This is what you got to know. We don't know what we're doing. There you go. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Here is a great question. What kind of effect do you have on your church or fellowship? What kind of effect do you have on your church or your fellowship? We hope that it is what? Spirit-led and Bible-grounded. We certainly hope that. That's something that we're hoping for everybody. But what kind of effect do you have on your church or on your fellowship? If you have an opinion to that, you want to share about that, a comment, a thought, or a question, if you have a praise report or a prayer request, if you've got something that's just rattling around and you just got to share it, awesome, awesome, awesome sauce. All you got to do is reach out to us and call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D, that's like spending time relaxing and chillaxing.
Always fun, Dave.
Oh, yeah, great. You just kind of chill out. You sit here. You're in the studio. You're listening to the radio show. You got Dynamite D over there. You got Dr. Dave sitting on one side. And on the other side of Dr. Dave, somebody who won't be talking.
Who that, Dave?
I don't know. It's somebody who's a little bit of a chicken. Bark, bark, bark. Anyway, I think Noel is hanging out with me today in the studio. Yeah, we got a little appointment after this, and so we'll see. Yeah, very good, very good. So just letting you know, you won't hear much, but if you hear something thrown at me and then there's blood dripping, I'll let you know.
I'll help keep the peace.
Okay. And so if you want to call us, you know you can do that. By the way, if you want to text us, you can also text us. It's super easy, not complicated at all. So if you're in San Diego, you're talking about 11:35 and 36 seconds right now. And if you're in Dallas area, you're talking about 1:35 and 42 seconds right now, and you can reach out to us live right now on this wonderful day, the 7th day of September. Let's keep it going. Text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice coming up now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. That's like really like moody kind of voice there. I don't know. I can also do this one. Ready? 214-210-8483. There you go. You can call that one too. Or text that one too. As well, you can send an email. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D. Just the five letters. Nothing in front of it. Nothing behind it except for David at hemustincrease.org. org, connecting it, of course, to John 3:30. Also going to send you up to the website. Now, why are we going to do that? I think most people know that on the website, there's lots of encouraging things. There's videos, there's audios, there's different articles. There's places where you can put a praise report or a prayer request, and we take those very seriously, and we take that time and spend time praying and committing over that. Nobody gets the list. Nobody finds out. You even have an opportunity to say, please keep it private or make it public. It's up to you entirely. That is in your hands. So check that out on the website. Plus, we've come into this new place in our mindset where we're asking people to partner with the ministry and without having shame about it. Now, most of you have heard that I can't stand asking for money, and I can't. I don't like it. But that's wrong on my end, and giving is an important part of activating the kingdom of God. And so we are asking you, if the Lord puts it on your heart, to give. We're not going to guilt you in it. In fact, part of the teaching today is all about that. It's going to be fascinating. But I want to remind you of Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits of all your produce. You give God the best you got, not what's left over. If we're part of that, fantastic. If we're not, that's fantastic. Make sure you're giving, because that's the ministry that each believer has, giving back unto the Lord. Check it all out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Yep, that's what happens when you say something and you want to pull it back, but you can't do it. You want to have one of those buttons right in your mouth and go, I didn't say any of that.
Someone else might agree with us on that one today.
We're not going to ask her. All right, so we're just going to move on into the teaching because we have much to do. So again, welcome San Diego, welcome Dallas. Let's have a good time jumping into the Word of God and understanding how it applies to us and what we can do to draw closer to the Lord. Again, if you have a prayer request or a praise report, you're welcome to reach out to us during the show. Let's dive into the Word. And here is what it says, and I just want to pick it up. We're going to pick up from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And with that, we're going to pick it up basically about verse 3. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 3. That's kind of a run-up to what we're going into, because when you hear what we're going to talk about and where it goes, it's pretty fascinating. Here we go with verse 3 in 2 Corinthians 9. "When I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting of you in this matter should not prove empty, but that you will be prepared, just as I said. Otherwise, if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, to say nothing of you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you beforehand and make arrangements for the bountiful gift you promised. This way, your gift will be prepared generously and not begrudgingly." Wow, Dave, that's a lot of text. It sure is. Let's get into it. Paul has great confidence in the Church of Corinth, but everybody needs some checking in on now and then, no matter who you are. And what he's saying is, look, I stuck my neck out in my boasting of you, and I don't want egg in my face, and quite frankly, you don't want egg in your face either. And this is more along the lines of the theory, trust but verify. So Paul is saying, he strongly encourages, you know, these people. He's like, look, we're going to send these people to you. Get ready. Be prepared. Get on it. Let's get this going. This strong encourages us that if we commit to something, if you commit to something, you should be diligent to carry out that commitment. When you make a commitment to pray for somebody like we ask you to do, I'm praying for the radio audience, you can't treat that lightly. You know, when people ask you, hey, don't forget to pray for me, and you say, I will, one of the things that we encourage people to do is pray right then and there so that you don't go, oh, there was something I was supposed to do, and now I can't remember. Don't do that, okay? What you need to do is respond to it right away. If you make a commitment to something, do it. Make the commitment to fulfill it. So if you make a promise to somebody, you say something along those lines, you got to push forward. You can't just give lip service in your Christianity. You have to actually do these things, because you know who heard you make that commitment? God. And you know who's waiting for you to fulfill that commitment you made? God. Not that it's going to affect your salvation. No, of course not. But what it is a matter of the truthfulness and the faithfulness and the diligence of your own promises, your own commitments. If you make a commitment, get to it. Get to it as best you can. You don't have to, you know, the world doesn't have to end, but don't ignore it. Don't treat it like it's nothing. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, look, you guys, I'm sending people over there. I'm sending them to get this gift from you. I want you to be ready because I don't want anybody in Macedonia who's coming with me to find out you weren't prepared, because then I'm going to look dumb. You're going to look dumb. We're going to look dumb. Hey, let's not do that. That's what he says. And so then he says this, which is amazing. He said, I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you beforehand and make arrangements for the bountiful gift you promised. This way your gift will be prepared generously and without begrudging. What a weird word, begrudging, right? We know what it means, but it's still a unique word. Here's something we need to catch, and I want you to pick up on this. Again, as if this was written for me personally, by the way, Paul stresses we need to be reminded of constantly of certain things. And we need to offer our gifts and our sacrifices with this mindset or this attribute. And Paul lists six. What? Six attributes? What? That he wants us to be giving with. The first attribute is to be generous. It says, this way your gift will be prepared generously. I mean, this is the first one. We don't get out the door yet. Okay, you know how you're putting your gift together? Yeah, you know, don't use the cheap stuff. That's what he's saying. Give generously. Make it from the heart. Make it real. And so being stingy when we're engaging in kingdom giving is an oxymoron. Kingdom giving cannot have stingy in it, because that's like jumbo shrimp, an oxymoron. Can't do that. Okay? And it's a sin. You think, what do you mean it's a sin? The offering that you give, if you and I give an offering, it's not just you, it's me too. If I give an offering and we give offerings, if I give an offering and I'm doing it stingy, I'm sinning. Why? Because I'm not doing it to honor the Lord. I'm doing it so I can get the pass. That's what you can't do. You can't just get a pass. This offering that I offer that way will not be accepted. You think, what do you mean it won't be accepted? Of course it'll be accepted. I mean, money's always accepted. People love it when you donate your leftover toys to churches and stuff like that. Let me explain something to you. Cain's offering was not accepted. It didn't mean he didn't give one. He just didn't give one that God said, okay. Abel's offering was the best in the first fruits. Cain's offering was, what he had. If we give God, what we have, that's bad. That's a wrong way to do it. You might be thinking, wait a minute. Well, let's go to the rest of the verse. I mean, there's six of them. That was only one. Here's another one, then we'll do our trivia question. The second attribute is for us to offer our gifts and sacrifices without a begrudging spirit. To give begrudgingly is to give with the feeling of somebody's extracting the funds. Like they're taking it. It is a gift that betrays the giver's covetousness. Uh-oh. Just listen to that line. It is a gift that betrays the giver's covetousness. 2 Corinthians 9:5 in the RV, which is the revised version, says instead of begrudgingly, it says by extortion. And it's almost like you're extorted, the money is being extorted from you, and that's how you treat it. Hey, when you give to God, he's not extorting anything from you. You're giving it to him because your heart really appreciates all he's given you. And that's a good thing, right? I mean, that's how you should. And this is, by the way, yes, this is money in this context, but it's not always money. You know what it is also? Time. You know what it is also? Talent. It's time, talent, and treasure. Wow. Let me take a breath. Okay, I'll give you a breath right here. Here's your first trivia question. Get ready. See if you're ready for it. And here we go. Which prophet did Elisha follow? Which prophet did Elisha follow? Was it Samuel, Ezekiel, or Elijah? There you go. Pretty straightforward.
Pretty easy one, Dave.
Okay. For some people. Not everybody, but for some people, we'll just leave that there. Which prophet did Elisha succeed? Was it Samuel, Ezekiel, or Elijah? Elisha. Oh, somebody's calling in. So we're going to have an opportunity to find out right now. Somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. You better get ready. Ooh, here we go. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Gary. How are you feeling today?
Well, I'm going to keep praying.
I love you. I love it. And you know what I love? I love that you have that. And you're like my, it's not you're my project, but you're one of my passions. I just keep praying to the Lord. The Lord will bless you and heal you. And we're going to do it again. But let's deal with this trivia question real quickly. Which prophet did Elisha succeed? Was it Samuel, Ezekiel, or Elijah?
It was Elijah.
That is correct, Amundo! You are right, sir. Yes, sir. So, yeah, it wasn't Samuel by any means. Long, long earlier there. But it wasn't Ezekiel either. Actually, I'm not sure anybody really, you know, except for the book of Revelation, nobody really followed Ezekiel. I mean, there's a few things in Revelation you can correlate, but nobody really followed him that way. Anyway, let me pray over you, brother, because I love to, and everybody in the audience loves it too. Is that cool?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you and praise you. First and foremost, we worship you. Above all that we can possibly grasp, your kindness exceeds us every single day. And we are asking you to pour into our brother Gary healing power. We said before, Lord, we'll say it again. We'll say it every day we can, not just to bless him, but to heal him and let him find life and let him find the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power, Holy Spirit, that you poured onto Jesus as you rose him up. Pour that into Gary's body. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to pour the Holy Spirit upon Gary and let him find healing to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen and thank you, and I'll continue to pray for all of you, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless, brother. Okay, excellent job there. Now let's go right back to the teaching because our time is tight. Why? Because the show goes so fast, nobody can keep track of it, at least not me anyway. Let's go right back, and we've only talked about two attributes. The first one is to be generous. The second one is to not have this begrudging spirit. So when you're in some kind of ministry situation, and I'm not talking about, like, well, he's talking about that to get money from us. No, I'm not. This is how Christians are supposed to live. Whether you give to this ministry or not does not change a single thing in what I'm going to teach. It's irrelevant. The scripture is the scripture. And the begrudging is when they say, well, now it's time to take an offering, and you go, ugh. You know that part right there? Don't lie. Some people, now, I love some of the churches like the AME church. They do this big thing where everybody, the band comes and they start singing and dancing around. Everybody gets up and starts getting really excited. You know what? I like that.
You told me about that one too.
Yeah, I like that because that's a better spirit of giving. It's not the, and we're going to see it's not the amounts. What it is it's the heart. It's us towards the Lord who's given to us so much. And then it says this, so I mean, we're just going to stay at it because this is super important. Again, use this at your church first. I plead with you. We are not at your, we're fellowship. We don't do communion, right? We don't do baptisms, right? We don't do marrying, I'm just saying. We do fellowship, right? Take care of your church, then go from there. And so this is what it says. After it says verse 5, it says this. Verse 6, consider this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. For one should give what one has decided in one's heart to give and not out of regret or compulsion. So let's just back this up. These are the next two. The first one is be generous. The second one is don't have a begrudging spirit. The third and fourth attribute is for us to offer our gifts and sacrifices not sparingly, but bountifully. I mean, this is the whole thing. Don't offer it this way. That's one. Offer it this way. Well, that's another. And so here's what's being communicated. Don't be cheap with God. I mean, it's just the nicest way to put this is don't be cheap with God. If you're cheap with God, what does that say to God about your activities? again, I don't care about us. I'm talking to you, you and him. If we give God less than our best, if we give God the, ready? If we give God the whatever offering, that's exactly what it is. You know that. It's the whatever. I'm not only am I not paying tithes, but you're lucky to get a fiver out of me. You know, it's like, come on. It's like, that's a problem. But if we do it with a spirit of generosity and a desire to share and to bless, if you do it with that desire to share and that desire to be a blessing, guess who takes track or guess who makes notation of that? Guess who puts that in the book? Guess who gets that recorded for you? God has it recorded. So if you give with this attitude of, you know what? You know what? I'm just going to give just enough. Right? Hey, this isn't dieting. Okay? Dieting is you eat, you don't eat much, eat just enough, right? This is the opposite. This is where you want to splurge because you're investing eternally in the kingdom of God. And there's not one penny you've ever given with a right spirit that God has not noted. What do we say? I mean, you just think about it. The best investments, the one that gives the longest return, best return for the longest time. Would that not just be anything eternal? Of course it would. And then look at the rest of this test. This is what, now this is my stuff. This is the stuff where I can teach on giving because this is here. It makes it easier for me to teach on giving. So I'm just being honest. It's this. It says right after you, he said, each one should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not out of regret or compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Three times the word all is in there. It's really kind of fascinating. But here, this is what I want you to get. The fifth attribute is to offer our gifts and sacrifices, ready? Based on our hearts, not necessarily on a formula. That's a problem. People are like, well, you have to pay this, you have to do. You know what you have to do? You have to have your heart where it needs to be before the Lord. Because if you're not, then it's going to be blah. So look at what it says, verse 7. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Well, Dave, that's not 10%. I promise you, if you have a genuineness of heart and a right attitude and you're giving 5% and it's really sincere, you don't think God's going to notice that? I'm sorry, he won't notice anything under 10. 9.5 won't count. See how legalistic you can get? That's not what we're supposed to be doing. Right? We're supposed to stay away from that, right? And look at the sixth attribute, because I think this is the, you know, how does it get better than this? The sixth attribute is what? Not out of regret or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What does that mean? Smile when you give it. That's what it means. Noel just smiled. That's what you do. You smile when you give it. Or smile when you keep it. Just smile about this. But here's what I'm trying to say. If you can't be glad and rejoice when you're giving the offering up to God, he doesn't want it. And wait a minute. The truth is we need it as people. But God doesn't need it. And, you know, every time I hear a preacher or some teacher say, but his kingdom needs it. Listen, let me explain something to you. God doesn't need a dime from any entity called human ever. If God wanted to have $1 trillion appear in a millisecond, so it would. Because he's God. Now that's what's cool. So then he makes this promise, and we'll just close it off with this. This is his promise. And God, verse 8, is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. You know, when you give and have that right attitude to the Lord and give it unto the Lord, you know what he does? He then takes up your cause. Now, that doesn't say you'll always have $1 million in the bank. What it does say is that you will find that there is all grace will abound for you, all things at all times, all that you'll need, God's going to help you with. because you have the attitude of giving back unto God with the right spirit. So I was talking to a good friend, Rob, and him and I were just discussing something on the phone and simply said this. Well, I said, one of the best lessons I've learned that I keep forgetting, did you hear what I said? I keep forgetting is that I own nothing, but in Jesus I possess everything. Okay, there you go. All right, now, if you are in San Diego at K-Bright, 1240 a.m., and you want to keep listening to your station, awesome teaching there. Otherwise, you can go to hemustincrease.org, click on the Listen Live, and you can hang out with us for another hour. If you're in Dallas, hang out. We'll take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience.
You should see Gabriel because he's just running everything. He has to run to this thing, run to this thing. It's great to see it because I just love that the Lord's bringing him in this way. Somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Yes, they are. So we're going to have them come forward, send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, Dr. Spoon. This is Deborah.
Deborah. Take two aspirin and call me in the morning. Anyway. All right. I hope you're getting a kick out of the show today. This is a fun one today. All right, you ready? All right, here you, this is a good one. Which of David's wives was described as very beautiful to look upon?
I believe it was Bathsheba.
That is correct! You are right!
Yay.
2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. That's exactly what it says. Excellent job. By the way, how you doing, Deborah? How are things going for you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm doing a lot better, and, you know, things are going well.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I want everybody to keep praying for Deborah. Don't stop praying for the audience. One of the things I came up with today when I was praying is everybody should be praying that the Lord would just help one another. Help the people. Help the people, Lord.
Yes,
help the people.
I do pray that, and I do pray for the audience all the time. So.
I love it, and I love that you do that, and I love that you call in. And like I said, you are the best guesser we have ever had. So excellent job.
You know, I always thought it was funny that David saw her bathing and her name was Bathsheba. I always thought that was kind of funny.
That's so funny. I didn't even catch that. That's funny. He saw her bathing. Her name is Bathsheba. There you go. I'm using
all
that.
Right. Well, y'all have a good day. God all bless.
Thanks. God bless.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.